all across America and around the world. This is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And now, your host for today's program, Dale Throneberry.
And good afternoon and welcome to Veterans Radio. My name is Dale Throneberry. I was Chief Warrant Officer of the United States Army in Vietnam, 1969, helicopter type pilot. I want to welcome you to our program today. Today is our special benefits program that we do every month. So I want you to get out your pen and pencil, crayon, whatever it is that you need to write with, and write down this number. It's 734-822-1600. 734-822-1600, because we got a number of emails this week with questions, and we're hoping that you will call us in and help us out. We want to make sure that you know what's going on and that you get the benefits that you have earned and, of course, that you are eligible for. A couple of events that are coming up. This is one thing that we always do. And the big one, I guess you could say, is the Stories of Service that is going to be on Monday evening. That's November 5th at Hill Auditorium. And this is to raise money for the Fisher House here in Ann Arbor and also for the Fisher House in Detroit. As many of you know, a Fisher House is sort of like a Ronald McDonald House for veterans' families. When they come to the VA hospitals, they don't have to stay in a hotel or motel or anything like that. They can stay within walking distance of the hospital, and, you know, because many of them come from long distances, and we want to do this. This is a great program, and I'm really excited. I have the privilege of being one of the co-hosts this year with the director of the Fisher House, Michigan, and that's Kate Melcher, and she's an Apache pilot, and which is kind of cool. So we're going to have two helicopters pilots on the stage, one who's old and one who's not quite that old, and so we're going to see how we can make it an interesting evening as we introduce our guests. And some of the guests, I want to mention a couple of them, because we're going to have some on the program next week here on Veterans Radio as kind of a preview of the show. But the one that I've, not one, there's a number of them that are really cool. One is Guy Stern, and Guy is a European immigrant. He's a Jewish immigrant, came here before World War II, ended up back in the service, and then ended up back in Germany as an interrogator and interpreter. And he's got some really great stories about he was able to get some German POWs to tell true stories and so forth, either with threats of being sent to the Russian front and all kinds of things. He's a great guy, very humorous, but a very, very, very important story. Many of you may remember that we did a story about Guy and a number of other Jewish interrogators who came back and went back to Europe, and that was called the Ritchie Boys. And I think if you go to our website, veteransradio.net, and type in Ritchie Boys, this show will come back up. It was a number of years ago. We also have Flip Colmer, and Flip is a member of an organization called the Bent Prop Project. And what this organization does is that it goes to the South Pacific looking for old World War II bombers and fighter planes and so forth that haven't been discovered in the last 75 years. And they do, and they go in and they attempt to recover any remains that they can find, and then those remains are identified, and they finally get the burial that they need. And then finally, from the Vietnam era, we have Edie Meeks, who was an Army nurse in Vietnam, and she's just an amazing story, an amazing woman. You can find her on YouTube. She's got a very powerful story. So we encourage you to come on out at 7 o'clock on Monday night. That's November 5th at Hill Auditorium. And bring your checkbook or cash. We take either one. And so we want to raise some money for Fisher House, and we want to make sure that you do that too. And I look forward to seeing you all out there. I got a couple of things that were left over from last week that I did want to mention when we were talking with my partner Bob Gould, and we were talking about some of the resources up at the VA that many of us are not aware of. And so first of all, I wanted to talk about a program called Coaching into Care. And this is a national telephone service that the VA uses to aim to educate, support, and empower family members and friends who are seeking care or services for their veterans. So you can just give them a call. Or you can look on their website, which is it says www.mirecc.va.gov/coaching. Or you can look for Coaching into Care, and that'll take you to their Facebook page and into their website. Of course, the other is a Veterans Crisis Hotline. As we always tell you here, and every website about veterans out there, that's if you feel that you are in crisis or you know someone who's in crisis, give them a call. It's 800-273-8255 and press 1. That goes to a veteran specialist. I guess you could say a veteran crisis specialist. There's veteran training available. I wasn't even aware of half of these things. I just think it's so important that you go to the VA website, va.gov, and just take a trip around it. You're going to find so many great programs that most of us aren't even aware of. And if you are near a veterans hospital, as you go into most of them, into their new lobbies, or at least our new lobby, they've got a great display with a lot of information out there. There are weight loss programs for us. There are you can get access to workout facilities. They've got, it's everything. Just training courses, computer training, and it's all free. All you have to do is qualify. That means go to the VA, sign up, make sure that you are qualified. And some of these benefits are really helpful to you. So I want to make sure you do that. Please do that. Speaking of helping veterans, we have a new guest that we haven't talked to in a while, or I haven't talked to in a while. I met her at a meeting of the Warrior and Caregivers United dinner that they had a couple of weeks. And I did not realize that she was a daughter of a good friend of mine. And it turns out that she is also a veteran advocate. As a matter of fact, she's a veteran navigator, which sounds pretty cool to me. But she is also her job is a veteran navigator, but she works for the Community Mental Health Partnership of Southeast Michigan. And I want to welcome Erica Beam to Veterans Radio.
Thanks for having me, Dale. It's good to be here. Good to see you.
It's good to see you again. I was so impressed with you. Wow, they just went on and on about the great things that you do to help out veterans and their families and caregivers and everything. That's a great organization, too, that they've got going there.
It is a great organization, and it's always, you know, nice to get together with them and do any of the work that we do together. And it was really great to see you there, too.
It was good. It's nice to meet you, as a matter of fact. So, after we chatted at that meeting, you tell me you're a veteran navigator. So, tell me what a veteran navigator does with the Community Mental Health Partnership of Southeast Michigan.
So, I liken it to the image of a navigator sitting in a seat next to somebody in a vehicle. You know, there's a destination in mind, there's a position that needs to be gotten to, and there's a lay of the land. And sometimes when you're driving or when you're in the forest, you can't see how to get there. So, as a navigator, my job in my four counties is to know what those resources are, how the land looks, and how to navigate that land for the person trying to get to where they need to go. Specifically, as a veterans navigator, I do that for the veterans and family members in Livingston, Washtenaw, Monroe, and Lenawee counties. And the goal of the organization is to identify veterans who are not otherwise identified in the community. Mm-hmm. So even if they are connected to the VA, that's great. We can still help with other things that aren't necessarily VA connected. But we're really looking for those veterans who have not accessed those resources yet.
Okay. And so when we were talking a little bit earlier, you said that you just kind of go around the county, stopping in wherever you think a veteran might be hanging out, whether it's at McDonald's for coffee or the local donut shop or whatever, and ask if they need any help. And if they do, you help them.
Yeah, well, typically, I just a part of my day is doing that. You know, everywhere mm-hmm. I go, if I stop into McDonald's and I see somebody wearing a hat, or if I happen to see a license plate, I know Michael does the same. You know, engage that person just to say, hey, welcome home. You know, this is who I am. Hand my business card off, and if you need anything, let me know. Sometimes that piques a conversation. Sometimes it just maybe gets thrown in the trash. I don't really know. Mm-hmm. But you know, getting the community mental health involved in each of those four counties is really instrumental to the work that I do as a navigator.
Can I ask you to expand upon this? We talked about it a little bit earlier where you mentioned this is all over the state of Michigan. This is not just our, you know, your four counties. Can
right.
you explain how that works, that program?
So I am proudly one of 17 in a team of 17 navigators across the state. We are divided up according to geographic population. So there's a state directive through the Department of Health and Human Services. Brian Webb is the veterans liaison from the Department of Health and Human Services that works for this program. 2 years ago, he designed a plan to work with the community mental health that each region, prepaid inpatient health plan region, would receive a Veterans Navigator, there are 17 regions. So in particular, in my region, those four counties, I am the only Veteran Navigator for that. Detroit, Wayne, Oakland, Macomb, Kalamazoo, a couple other counties have their own navigator just for the county, where the rest of us have four. So there are 17 of us out there, and I do believe I sent you the contact information so that those, that can be spread.
Yeah, we'll put that information up on our website later, especially because we want to put a link to your name on our website so that people can find out more information if necessary. It sounds like a really cool program. I wasn't even aware that, probably many of us weren't even aware that these programs are available. You say this came down from Governor Snyder. How did that work?
I'm not, I wasn't a part of that process, so I'm not exactly clear, and I think Michael might actually be a better one to answer that question. I just know that the funds were distributed through the state, through Department of Health and Human Services, to the prepaid inpatient health plans, in which those funds go to the community mental health in the community.
Okay, so the money comes from the feds to the state, and now the state is distributing it around to the 17 areas that that they're involved with. You mentioned that when you first started that you let people know what you were up to, and you got a great response.
Well, it's just a brand new program, you know. It's not all that. It's only been in operation since latter part of 2016. It's only had all the navigators hired for less than a year. So it's really new. And because the regions are so demographically different, each navigator kind of has their own way of having to do things. Plus, we all have our own leadership. We're not operated by the state. So it's been really interesting to see the work that we're all having to do based on the needs of our areas. And I they've done a great job at meeting the needs in this first year.
Well, I think it's exciting. So if people wanted to get a hold of you or the program, how would they do that?
Well, in my specific region, it would be by area code 734-660-8673. Call or text is fine. Email, which would be behme@cmhpsm.org. That's a lot of alpha stuff.
That is.
Or the website, Community Mental Health Partnership of Southeast Michigan.
That will work. Community Mental Health Partnership of Southeast Michigan. Go there. Ask for Erica. She knows everything. She, not only is she a veteran navigator, she's also a social worker with a degree in said field. And so I think that you're going to be really, really... I think this sounds like a great beneficial program for everybody. I mean, if everybody's out there trying to help not only veterans, but the whole community as you know, as a whole, that this will be work out really well. Thank you very much for being on the program.
I'm glad to be here.
I know, because I'm going to ask you to stay so that you can listen into our other two experts on benefits over here. We'll have Michael Smith is here from the Washtenaw County Office of Veteran Services. And also on the phone when we come back is retired Brigadier General Carol Ann Falsone from Legal Help for Veterans. We want you to ask us your questions, folks. So give us a call. We've got a couple here that we got emails for, but give us a call, 734-822-1600. You're listening to Veterans Radio, and we'll be right back. Hi, we are back on Veterans Radio this Sunday for Benefits program. And joining me in the studio right now is Michael Smith from the Veterans Service Office here in Washtenaw County. Michael, welcome back again.
Dale, it's always good to be on the radio with you and my partner, Carol Ann.
It is always fine. And our partner, Carol Ann Falsone, is on the phone. Carol Ann, welcome back to Veterans Radio.
Oh, thank you so much. And I really wish I would be there. I'm sending a big hug to Erica.
Hi, I'm so happy to hear from you. I was looking forward to seeing all of you. I'm sorry you're not here too, but we'll get together soon.
But what a great program to talk about. You know, I'm sure Michael will echo in. You hear about these programs and you know they're being launched, but you don't know to the extent that the word is being spread. And so the great word navigator, this information really does have to get out because as you've heard us talk about during the benefits period or the time, the mental health issue is huge throughout the state of Michigan. And so to have 17 individuals also helping through community health to get the word out to take care of our veterans, I compliment you, Erica, for what you're doing and your other colleagues.
You know, you bring in a really great point that I may have failed to mention is that we are specifically focused as navigators on the mental health and substance use disorder aspect of the community mental health. So we are meant to work in anything mental health. So PTSD, any, you know, major depression, anxiety, substance use disorders. So I may have neglected to say that, but she brings up a really good point, and that is the case.
Well, that's what we're supposed to do here. This is what Veterans Radio does. We want to be the voice of America's veterans. We want to give them the information they need to get. And so, Carolyn, I'm going to start with you. I don't know. I haven't had a chance to talk with you in a while. What's been going on with Legal Help for Veterans?
Well, I think Legal Help for Veterans is addressing the issues that we do daily, trying to help our veterans tell their own individual story. I think the most important thing I will tell any veteran out there with their advocate or their navigator is to communicate with them. Make sure that if you get a letter from the VA, if you get a phone call regarding an appointment, any of those components, please call, whether you have a county counselor, a veteran service officer, if you're one of our clients, but tell your POA what's going on. I think that's the information I spread, Dale.
Okay. Well, no, that's fine. We have a couple of, Michael, do you have, I guess, before I start asking some questions that I've got here already, anything that we need to know about what's going on at the VA?
Well, Dale, I thought maybe we should start out by reminding the listeners that the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs is broken down into three administrations. There's the Veterans Benefits Administration, the Veterans Health Administration, and then, of course, the National Cemetery Administration. You notice that not too many people write in or call in or talk to us about the one administration that
is the National Cemetery, but
most people are focusing on either the Veterans Benefits Administration or the Veterans Health Administration. Now, the VBA, which is the Veterans Benefits Administration, they're the ones who administer disability compensation, the non-service-connected disability pension, survivor's pension, dependency indemnity compensation, the VA home loan guarantee program, VA insurance, the education program. So those things that we think about that are benefit-specific, the things that mm-hmm. we know that veterans earned because of their honorable service, and then Veterans Health Administration, which has different criteria for treatment, which is one of the reasons why I'm so glad Erica is involved as a navigator, because what most people don't understand is the VA's rules for health care have changed. It's mm-hmm. not an automatic that all veterans can get their health care at the VA. So those who have less than 24 months of continuous service, let's just say you served honorably, but you were released after 18 months of service, they're not eligible for health care at the VA healthcare system because that 24-month minimum service criteria that went in place in September of 1980. And then there are those who have mental health disorders that may not be related to their service. And so someone like Erica, getting them connected to other community resources for their mental mm-hmm. health treatment is very important.
I think that's a big bonus that, Erica, that you bring with us, at least here in Michigan. And I'm never positive what goes on in the other states, but I think that knowing that this is available is something that we need to be really getting the word out around, you know, with everyone. So I think if we can just, on our website, and maybe if we can get it on Legal Helps, or I don't know what you guys can do in the county level, but, you know, get a big stacker for cards there out up on your front desk to talk about what's going on. I think that what you just mentioned, though, is really important, that there are three separate entities inside of the Department of Veterans Affairs, and that, you know, most of our questions here today will deal with the benefit side. And next week, actually, I can tell you, we're going to be talking more about the veterans, the hospital side of the issue with a guest that we've got coming on next week. So quit paying attention. We did get a couple of questions here from some of our listeners, and I'm going to ask Michael if he could address at least a couple of those, and then we'll go to our big the big one as we go along later.
Well, it looks like a gentleman wrote in and asked simply, how can I get my CRSC disability increased?
What's that?
CRSC is combat-related special compensation. So what most people don't know, or many people may know, is that military retirees who are in receipt of VA compensation have an offset to their military retired pay in the same amount that they receive VA disability compensation. There are two programs, or there were two programs created back in 2004 to pay back to veterans that offset. One is the Concurrent Retired and Disability Payments, or CRDP, and then the other one is the combat-related special compensation. Now, CRDP is probably the prominent one because that's for anyone who's 50% to 100% service-connected. They can receive full concurrent receipt of their VA disability compensation and their military retired pay without an offset. Mm-hmm. For those who have an offset that are between 10, 20, 30, and 40%, they can apply to their branch of service, and their branch of service can pay back the money that is being offset if they'd establish that the disabilities that they're receiving compensation for from the VA are combat-related. Now, there's a lot of combat-related codes. There's AC for actual combat. There's SW for simulation of war. There's HD for hazardous duty. There's IW for instrumentality of war. There's AO for Agent Orange, and there's MG for mustard gas. So if any of your disabilities were considered by your branch of service as being combat related under any one of those combat codes, they will pay you back the amount of money, exactly the same amount of money that the VA is offsetting. So it's not your combat-related special compensation disability that has to be increased. In this case, it has to be the VA disability. If it's increased, then you can actually request an increase in your CRSC rate.
Okay, that answers the question, I hope, for, let's see, who sent me this one. This is from George.
George.
I don't know where George is from. When you send me these emails, could you put in the state that at least you're trying to contact us from so that we know how far our signal is going, I guess could be that. And what's going on. So I got another question from, is this the travel pay one?
Well, there's one from Stephen McGeady, yeah. Who's saying, what is the deal with the e-benefits page? I have two appeals that say that the appeals are complete and notification has been sent. That was in July. I received nothing so far. So there's two things I would say about e-benefits. The language that is used in e-benefits sometimes is not consistent with what we are thinking and how we're processing information. I've had many veterans tell me that they went into e-benefits saying that a letter was mailed out and that they were waiting for a response. When I go into the Veterans Benefits Management System, which is the access I have as an accredited veteran mm-hmm. service officer, I see something different. I saw the letter, and that I have to remind that veteran that we already responded to that letter. So mm-hmm. some of the information in e-benefits is not as up-to-date as we would want it to be. I would encourage Mr. McGeady to contact his veteran service officer, mm-hmm. Whether that's in one of the national service organizations like the VFW, the American Legion, or if he's got a county veteran service officer, to have them access the Veterans Benefits Management System to see exactly what's the status of his appeal.
Okay. Carolyn?
Along with that, I just want to piggyback. I think we spoke about that a couple weeks ago, and it's not to get upset when you're seeing what is in e-benefits, because a lot of we get the calls from our veterans who are really upset that says there is no appeal, everything is closed, and as Michael just stated, it could be the farthest from the truth. So it's really important before you get so upset that you contact who's representing you and work through the system. I think that's really important.
Okay, we are trying to make sure that our people that we talk to, we always refer them back to their veteran service officer, whoever that may be, because obviously, I suppose we should put a disclaimer on before the program, and we offer advice and we try to tell you what to do, but we don't have all the answers. But I think we have a direction of where you can go. As our navigator said, in kind of the roadmap that we talk about, we can point you in the right direction. Mm-hmm. We've only got about a minute and a half to go, or a minute. And so I do have a quick call. I've got a caller in from California. I've got David from California. Would you go ahead and tell us what's going on?
Oh, Yeah, well, thanks. I've been trying to pay attention. You remember a year and a half ago when Trump first came into office, they ripped apart the Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act.
Right.
And I'm wondering, that, as I understand it, that covered a lot of service, the families of servicemen. And I'm wondering if there are statistics on how many people have been damaged. And then how much is that really damaging the welfare of the nation as the families get ripped apart with medical problems?
Well, I'm going to ask you to hold on the line, Dave, and we're going to think about that while we take a break for the news. So make sure that you stay on the line. We'll try to answer that. You're listening to Veterans Radio. If you've got a question, give us a call, 734-822-1600. We'll be right back after the news. And we're back on Veterans Radio, and we're talking benefits today. So if you have a question about VA benefits, give us a call, 734-822-1600. Before we took a break, we were talking with Dave from California, and we're trying to figure out your question, Dave. You mentioned that you have VA benefits, but you were talking about your family?
Well, yeah, and I don't know if you noticed it, but Senator Mitch McConnell was on C-SPAN about two Tuesdays ago, and he mentioned that the agenda for the GOP this next session is to target Social Security, Medicaid, and Medicare. And so since the affordable, what people think of as Obamacare was called the Affordable Care Act, and that covered, people, any American was eligible for it. But since a lot of service people don't really get good health care, there were a lot of service people that had Obamacare, Affordable Care Act coverage. And, of course, the first thing that the Republicans did a year and a half ago was to rip it apart. And every state has lost hundreds of thousands of people who are now not covered by health care. And so I'm wondering if there's any data to show how that's affecting. Imagine the morale. If you're in the service, you're stuck at that pay rate and your family is undergoing some kind of medical conditions. It's got to be pretty devastating to realize that the Congress not only doesn't care, but next year they're gonna target Medicaid, Medicare, and Social Security, and keep that old money for themselves.
We don't want to get too political here on that one, though. We may have an answer for you. So Michael had something.
Well, I do have a little bit of concern about what you think or understand are available to our military service members. They're all covered by TRICARE, and they're adequately covered. So not only do our military service personnel have access to military hospitals, such as Womack Army Hospital at Fort Bragg, Brooks Army Hospital, Bethesda, they not only get and receive their treatment at a medical facility that's associated with their installation, but their family members as well as those service members are covered by TRICARE. And TRICARE is an adequate benefit that covers their family members while they're in military service.
Right. As you may know, one of the first things that, in the 2015 legislation, the firing of staff at VA hospitals had gotten to be so bad. The VA was so understaffed that there was common agreement on both sides of the aisle to make sure that 40,000 people got hired by VA nationwide.
Well, they're running behind.
Not hired those 40,000.
I know. Thank you, Dave, for your call. I got to let you go. Well, we'll see what we can find out, and tune in next week, and maybe we'll have a more of an answer for you at that time. Okay. Thank you very much for being on Veterans Radio. All right, Carol Ann, you still there?
I think, Michael, you answered that extremely well. I think it's sometimes really hard to dissect
all of the different elements. You know, was Dave speaking of, you know, active duty, and you described that eloquently. They've got the TRICARE, and the families are taken care of. Are they in the Guard, the Reserves? You know, are we talking full retirement, coming out? And then he jumped to the VA. The VA now becomes a different story, and, you know, that could be a whole hour. We could do it on health care alone, because family members, there are several benefits that are available to a spouse and a dependent. But, you know, clearly that has been for the veteran, the VA health care. And so I think you answered the basics of Dave's question, but this could go all over the board.
Absolutely. And again, as I mentioned, we don't want to get into the political aspects. We just want to make sure that everybody is covered, if we can. And so we had another question from a young lady, actually.
Yes. Nancy Krantz wanted to know, why do they send me to the VA in Ann Arbor and only get paid travel pay to Fort Wayne, Indiana? My doctors are in Ann Arbor. So there is a little bit of a concern about answering your question, because we need to actually know whether or not VA Ann Arbor is your preferred healthcare provider, or if they're sending you there because they don't have the medical facilities to treat you, or excuse me, the medical expertise to treat you at Fort Wayne. If VA Ann Arbor is your preferred service provider, you can go anywhere basically and get your healthcare. But the VA will only reimburse you to the nearest facility that can provide that care. So the question is, are they sending you there because they cannot provide the care? If that's a fact, then you have to let the travel section know that this is not your choice. You're not going to Ann Arbor because it's your preferred facility, but you're going there because Fort Wayne cannot provide the care for you there. And then they will reimburse you, and they're obligated to reimburse you for your travel to Ann Arbor.
Okay. I didn't know that. See, you learned.
And I think that's really important to tell Nancy. Maybe shoot her back an email, that we'd be very happy to discuss her individual situation with the care that she's receiving, because that's really important. The VA does try to deliver high quality health care. And if the facility is not at your preferred place and you have to drive down the road, or it's contracted out, the VA is going to do what is best for the veteran.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying, Carol Ann. I think the idea, though, that I was reading something the other night about the Veterans Choice Program, or care, whatever it's called. I always get it mixed up with an insurance company that I know of. Is that if you cannot get the care that you need, and you're outside of that 40-mile range, is that you can go to an outside provider, and the VA theoretically will cover that, as long as there's funds that are still inside that type of an account. And maybe what has occurred with her, as you pointed out, Michael, is that she was going to there must be a VA hospital near Fort Wayne.
There is one in Fort Wayne,
okay,
yes.
There's one in Fort Wayne. See, he knows where everything is. You know, this is my walking encyclopedia. And they don't have the care. They don't have the provider. They don't have the particular treatment that she needs. I was talking to somebody the other day who had has a heart issue. And it actually is kind of stretching this out a little bit while I'm trying to remember what it was called. But he couldn't get the treatment that he needed in Ann Arbor, and he ended up having to go to Cleveland. Because in Cleveland, they work with the Cleveland Clinic.
That's correct.
And here they work with U of M. And U of M could not, they felt that they couldn't do the treatment that he needed. It was a serious heart problem. And so they sent him down to Cleveland Clinic. And, of course, they paid mileage because this is what he had to do.
Well, and see, and I think that's really critical, because that relates, again, to the quality of care. There's a standard. You can't provide every service at every institution. And my hat's off to the VA trying to get you to the appropriate location, even for your treatment, even though it might mean down the road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I agree. I think it's important that we look at, you know, what is available in your particular VA and what's, you know, what, because probably some VA hospitals are known for treatment that other ones are not. I know that Erica might maybe be familiar with the post-traumatic stress program that's in northern outside of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that we don't have here. And so a number of guys that I know have gone there for treatment.
There and Battle Creek both have the residential inpatient mm-hmm. programs for PTSD that, you know, Battle Creek is typically a little bit more available in our area just because it is in our state.
Right.
But North Chicago is the secondary hospital for that, for our area.
Oh, okay. Well, see, I didn't know that. You mentioned another thing I wanted to bring up, and you were talking about the veteran who had the prostate cancer was getting 100% disability because he had prostate cancer. Well, they removed his prostate, and now he doesn't have any cancer, and he also doesn't have any benefits.
Right, and so I was just curious whether or not he could have his prostate back.
I don't know if you'd want that one.
Right.
I haven't done the transplant of that yet.
It's important to note about cancer ratings. The VA has two ratings for cancer, 100% and 0%. So when the cancer is active or actively being treated, the VA assigns a 100% evaluation with a legal requirement under the law to reexamine the veteran every 6 months or 6 months after the cessation of treatment. So in this case, with the removal of the prostate, what the VA is obligated to do, once they take that 100% rating to zero, they're required to still evaluate the veteran on the residuals of the treatment of that cancer, which for prostate cancer typically are two different ratings, either urinary infrequency or avoiding disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And believe it or not, the highest evaluation under either one of those is 60%. So the veteran shouldn't have gone from 100 to zero.
Right.
He should have gone from 100 to 60 or 100 to 40 or 100 to 20 under one of those other mm-hmm. diagnostic codes, because they're obligated to treat, which I think most people are not aware of, for all of your service-connected disabilities. If a service-connected condition causes another medical condition, diabetes is a real good example.
Mm-hmm.
Diabetes
mm-hmm.
can lead to diabetic retinopathy. It can lead to diabetic nephropathy in the kidneys. It can lead to peripheral vascular disease, peripheral neuropathy in the upper and lower extremities. And so the VA is obligated to not only service-connected diabetes, but all of its known diabetic complications.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're also required to service-connect any medical condition that develops as a result of the treatment of a service-connected condition. I had a veteran who was service-connected for sarcoidosis.
What's that?
It's a lung disorder. It's like an inflammation mm-hmm. in the lining of the lungs, and it makes it real difficult to breathe. It's treated with anti-inflammatory steroid NSAIDs, and those over time caused her to get ulcers in her stomach. So now the VA has service connected her ulcers secondary to her sarcoidosis because of the treatment mm-hmm. with those non-steroid anti-inflammatory drugs. So we have to be aware of how the VA does a rating, and I think it's incumbent on service officers who are in this business like I am and like Carol Ann, and I know she does a wonderful job because I've seen her at work. I've seen her doing the work, is that we have to let our veterans know how these evaluations are going to go. And if the VA does something wrong, we have to be their advocates and fight for them mm-hmm. to get everything that they're supposed to under the law.
Carol Ann?
And Michael, thank you kindly. I was going to jump in there. This is one of those advertisements that if this veteran got that letter and said, oh my God, and stuffed it in the drawer, got angry, the next thing he should have done is call his POA, because we have the ability, Michael, I've known you've done it, we do it all the time. We contact the VA immediately and we ask for them to stop the reduction. Do not do the reduction until we're able to get all the evidence, the secondary start, that residual, as you very well described, and a lot of the times, the veteran does not go to zero. That does not happen because of our intervention. But it took the veteran to call us because we might not get the notification within the system as readily as the veteran got it. So I think the communication is very critical
so that we could act on your behalf.
Speaking about that evaluation or re-evaluations, there was a Gregory Bowles who wrote wondering what he could do about his appeal. He said that he was, for 5 or 6 years, he was getting 30% for his right knee. And that was based on multiple surgeries to that knee. And that led from him going from a 10% evaluation to a 30% evaluation. But then he went back for a reevaluation. So let's talk about that. There's two ways a veteran can be reevaluated. The VA will schedule them for a routine future exam under the premise that there's a likelihood that the disability can get better. Then there's veterans themselves who believe that their service-connected condition has gotten worse, and then they go back to the VA and ask for an increased evaluation. We're always very cautious about that as service officers, because if an evaluation is less than 20 years old, there's three outcomes of a request for to reopen that claim. Two-thirds of those, by the way, are positive. One, they can get an increase if the medical evidence supports it. Two, they can stay the same. Or three, yes, the VA can reduce you. And it looks like here that when he went back for a reevaluation exam, I don't know if that was one that he requested or if it was a routine future exam that the VA scheduled for him, they found that his knee had gotten better. And so they reduced him from 30 to 10. He appealed that, and it looks like it's been languishing in the appeals process for a couple of years. He mentioned here at the end of the email that it went from D.C. back to the VA, which probably means the regional office of jurisdiction, to have them decide what to do. Sounds to me like that's a remand. So what happened is his appeal went to the Board of Veterans Appeals in Washington, D.C., and from what I'm gleaning here, they remanded it back to the regional office of jurisdiction to do further development, probably get him an exam, probably get him an opinion, and then they have another bite at the apple to change the decision, or they may be required under the remand instructions to forward it back to D.C. for the BVA to make the decision. So you're unfortunately stuck in the appellate process right now. Mm-hmm. And again, if you have a veteran service organization, you have an advocate, you can ask to be advanced on the docket if you believe that this is going on a little bit too long. You may or may not be eligible to opt into the Rapid Appeals Management Program, or RAMP, meaning take your appeal out of this languishing appellate process and get it a decision within about 120 days. So those are my advice. I would hope you have an advocate working for you, and they can advise you on how to either opt into RAMP or request that your case be advanced on the docket at the BVA.
Okay. So hopefully that answers your question. Please follow up with your BSO out there. Or I have Caroline, I'll ask you this question. If he does as Michael suggests and pulls it out and then goes and does the RAMP program, what happens if he's denied on the RAMP program?
Well, then he goes back into another bucket. He could then the bucket lanes, you know. So, but I just want to say one thing. When I got this, when I saw the email, I think we spoke about this last month, Michael. Please refresh me. But you know what? I think it's really critical. I want to tell you this, that you do a little homework when you get that exam appointment, that you call your representative. I mean, we've been saying that today. I sound like probably a poly parrot. But, you know, we'll go out there. We have a form. We help you prepare to go in to do your exam. And I think that's really important. You just don't go in cold, because one of the first questions might be, Michael Smith, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great.
I'm feeling great. Well, guess what?
Feeling great.
I think in this case, he said, you know, he walked in and they only asked him maybe one or two questions. You know, the outcome was fairly obvious to the examiner, and he, you know, got benefits taken away. So please, please, please do your homework ahead of time. Contact your POA and let us help you prepare for your exam.
Wow. See, there's so much that we don't know that we're learning here just listening to these two people talk, that it's so helpful to us, and hopefully it's helpful to you out there that are listening to Veterans Radio. We got a couple of minutes left, and Erica, I noticed you wrote something down, but I wasn't sure exactly what you were wanted me to say. So I'll let you do it.
I just wanted to add, when you were talking earlier about how the VA wants to do the right thing and they want to make connections in the community, one of our navigators in the state, and she doesn't like to be singled out, so I won't say her name, but she actually was one of the first in the state to get the Detroit VA. The Detroit VA was trying to see a gentleman who couldn't physically make it to the VA. He was inside the 40-mile range, but I think, maybe don't quote me on the inside 40-mile range, but he couldn't physically get himself to the VA is the point. And she advocated for him and did end up getting a contracted community partner. And they actually provided him with some accessible things that help him communicate with the VA directly in Detroit from his home, which we haven't found yet. And it was through a navigator and the advocacy of a navigator. So I reiterate exactly what Michael and Caroline are saying. When you get that frustrated feeling, when you get that feeling of overwhelm, you even started in the beginning of the program I'm talking about all of the stuff that's available on the website. Sometimes that can be overwhelming.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
And that's exactly where a navigator comes in, because a navigator can, you know, they're not in there in the stress moment trying to figure out what's on the website, trying to figure out what's relevant for the website, not getting overwhelmed by what's on the website. They can say, okay, look, these are the things that apply to you. Here are the things that maybe you need to do, and let me help you through that process. Just like Caroline was saying, don't go into an examination alone. I say don't go into, you know, for the first time, don't go into the VA alone. Always two by two. We learn in the military and we learn throughout life that it's, you know, a lot of things are two by two. If you have somebody with you who knows the lay of the land, whether it's a VSO, whether it's a lawyer, whether it's a navigator, somebody who knows the lay of the land to help guide you through the maze or the gauntlet, however you want to phrase it.
I think that's great advice.
I think it's a gauntlet, because I have talked to many people who have given up on the VA because they, you know, they just don't know where to go. And I should point out that I know the Ann Arbor VA has social workers that will help you through the maze and the gauntlet that is up there to find out some of the benefits that are available to you. And some of them are so helpful if you are able to actually, you know, take advantage of them. You know, the family care things, all of the hardware that, you know, that you need if you are confined to a bed at home or something along those lines. I think it's incumbent upon us to keep these messages going to people. Ask the questions. Find a navigator. Find a VSO. Find a social worker at the VA that can help you out. It's you know, if we don't take care of our veterans, we're not going to have any veterans anymore. So we got to make sure that we do that. We've got about 3 minutes to go. I'm getting a signal over there from Derek. Is there anything else anybody wants to bring up real quickly? Anything going on that we need to be aware of?
Well, the Washtenaw County Department of Veterans Affairs will do our annual holiday dinner baskets. Now, it's not for everybody. It's for those who've come to our office in the last year to receive relief because they're indigent in some kind of way. We draw from those applications over the past year, and we come up with a list for our Thanksgiving dinner baskets, our Christmas dinner baskets, and we just did one for Easter. So we do it three times a year. We do up to 125. We've done as many as 150 holiday dinner baskets for our veterans and their survivors who've kind of fallen on hard times and were indigent. And that's one of the things that we like to do annually. We've been doing it for about 5 years now.
I think that's awesome. Thanks, Mike. I'm glad that you do that. I know that the VVA 310 chapter is doing one of their package parties is coming up next weekend on the 4th. Actually, I think while we're on the air, but sometime between 3 and 5. So if you'd like to pack up some packages to be sent overseas to our servicemen and women that are over there, you can do that. That's down on Wagner Road. They always like people to help out. And if you have anything that you want to send over, I think you can probably drop it off there. For more information about that, just contact VVA 310 in Ann Arbor. I want to thank all three of you again for being on our program. Carol Ann Fasson with Legal Help for Veterans. Thank you very much.
And Dale, if we have just 1 second,
yes, we do.
I just want to give a massive shout out to all of our veterans, not only in Michigan, but across the country. We'll, for Veterans Day, November 11th, we'll be back at the end of the month in November, but this is a very special 100th anniversary. So God bless our veterans.
Okay.
Thank you for your service, Carol Ann.
Thank you for yours, Mike.
You're welcome.
Dale.
What?
Thank you for your service.
You are welcome. You are welcome.
Thank you, Dale.
Thank you. Thank you all. Thank you, Erica, for being on the program. I hope you'll come back with whatever the Navigator program, where it's going, and maybe we can help some more veterans out there in our local communities.
Gladly. It's a privilege and an honor. Thank you. Thank you all, and welcome home.
Thank you. I want to remind you of the stories of service that is coming up next Monday on November 5th at 7 o'clock at Hill Auditorium. Come on down, raise money for the Fisher House, and you're going to hear some pretty amazing stories. I also want to thank Legal Help for Veterans and also American House in Vinoy in Westland, Michigan, for their support for keeping us on the air. We've been doing this now for 15 years, and we want to thank all of you very, very much for supporting Veterans Radio. And until next week, you are dismissed.